Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, you can open them up to 1 Kings, okay? 1 Kings chapter 3, a little curveball this morning. In lieu of Mother's Day, we're gonna take a little break from Joshua, and we're going to move to 1 Kings. Now, the interesting thing is I actually planned on just continuing through Joshua this morning. I wasn't planning on doing anything different. I plan on just going forward and even had started my message, you know, getting it laid out this week. But halfway through the week, the Lord led me to this passage out of 1 Kings. And so I decided to switch gears here kind of do a message kind of pointed towards mothers here. Now, I'll be honest, I don't think that this passage is a typical Mother's Day passage, but it does, however, involve two mothers. And I do believe that there are some lessons that we can learn about moms as we look closely at it this morning. And so if you have your Bibles, you can follow along with me, and we're going to read 1 Kings chapter 3, and we're going to read verses 16 through 28, the second part of chapter 3 this morning. So here's what it says. It says in verse 16, "Now two prostitutes came to the king and stood before him. One of them said, 'My lord, this woman and I live in the same house. I had a baby while she was there with me. The third day after my child was born, this woman also had a baby. We were alone. There was no one in the house but the two of us. During the night, this woman's son died because she lay on him. So she got up in the middle of the night and took my son from my side while I, your servant, was asleep. She put him by her breast and put her dead son by my breast. The next morning I got up to nurse my son, and he was dead. But when I looked at him closely in the morning light, I saw that it wasn't the son I had born.' The other woman said, 'No, the living one is my son. The dead one is yours.' But the first one insisted, 'No, the dead one is yours. The living one is mine.' And so they argued before the king. Verse 23, the king said, 'This one says, my son is alive and your son is dead. While that one says, no, your son is dead and mine is alive.' Then the king said, 'Bring me a sword.' So they brought a sword for the king. He then gave an order, 'Cut the living child in two, and give half to the one and half to the other.' The woman whose son was alive was filled with compassion for her son and said to the king, 'Please, my lord, give her the living baby. Don't kill him.' But the other said, 'Neither I nor you shall have them. Cut him in two.' Then the king gave his ruling, 'Give the living baby to the first woman. Do not kill him. She is his mother.' When all Israel heard the verdict the king had given, they held the king in awe because they saw that he had wisdom from God to administer justice." Now, this story is actually a well-known Bible story, and it actually highlights the wisdom of Solomon. As a matter of fact, in the NIV Bible, for this section of Scripture, it's actually titled "A Wise Ruling." But here's the thing. Here's the problem, I guess I would say, with well-known Bible stories like this one. It's that often we learn the primary lesson, right, of the story, and we fail to see the other things that we can learn from it. We just see the one main thing that comes out. Now, this story, it shows the wisdom that God has given to Solomon, right? As a matter of fact, it's right here at the beginning of chapter 3, the first part of the chapter, where Solomon asks for wisdom. God says, "I'll give you what you want," and he asks for wisdom. And so this section of Scripture does show the wisdom that Solomon had received from God, and that's what it points out. That's what a lot of people draw from this Scripture, this wisdom that God has given to Solomon. And it's easy to see this wisdom, but I believe that these Scriptures also show us something more. They show us some insight into motherhood. And this morning, I want to share with you three things that I think we can learn about mothers from this Scripture that we read this morning. Three things to encourage moms, okay? But the truth is, as I say that, these things can ultimately be used to encourage all of us this morning, all right? So the first thing I want to point out to you from these scriptures is this. The first thing we can learn about moms. Number one, and this will be your favorite one, moms, I'm sure. There is no such thing as a perfect mother. There is no such thing as a perfect mother. The fact is, the mothers talked about in these scriptures this morning were anything but perfect, right? Now, I don't share this fact to try to tear mothers down, okay, or to tear you down this morning as I say that. But instead, I really share this to build mothers up. No one should be treated with more tenderness and grace than our mothers. Perhaps no one is more caring and conscientious than a mother. And oftentimes when they fail or make mistakes, we can be harder on them, right? Because they're mom. They're supposed to be perfect, right? So when they make mistakes, we're a little bit harder on them. Am I wrong? Moms are supposed to be perfect, right? But moms don't make mistakes, do they? The reality is, and we all know this, the reality is they aren't perfect. The reality is they do. And the truth is, moms can also be harder on themselves than anyone else, right? Some of you sitting there, oh, no, not me. But yes, I'm not including me, mothers can be harder on themselves than anyone else. Now, when we look at this story from the Bible, it's interesting. These two mothers here, it says they were prostitutes. Now, I remember this story. I got this story when I was back in Sunday school and back in the day. And I don't remember them mentioning anything about them being prostitutes, right? But they were, and we read that, you know. And so because of that fact, we know that evidently their babies were conceived out of sin. And because I don't remember that from Sunday school, because I don't remember them talking about that, I have to admit, when I first read this scripture, I was like, what? Prostitutes? I don't remember that. And so I was drawn to that, and that became the attention that I focused on. And it's interesting because it made me wonder, why Solomon, here he is, king over God's chosen people, why he even took time to worry about these prostitutes? Okay, because these women, they were living outside of God's will. All right, back in this time and in the Jewish culture, I mean, they could have stoned them. They could have done all sorts of things to them. What they were doing was wrong according to the law. And so why was Solomon even concerned with these two women? Well, I think it's because Solomon was given this great wisdom. And I believe that wisdom entailed him the ability to kind of understand God better than most people, that he knew that God was concerned about these women. You see, these women were not living up to God's standards, but God still loved them. You see, as we talked about last week, whether it's the Old Testament or the New Testament, God has always been about forgiveness and restoration. If any of us had to wait for God to love us based on our performance, based on how good we were, on how well we obeyed, I think we would all be in a world of hurt, right? Or maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm the only sinner in here, okay? But I think we'd all be in a world of hurt. There is no such thing as a perfect mother. Just like there's no such thing as a perfect person, okay? Now, I may be like Mary Poppins, practically perfect in every way, but I'm not. No, I'm just kidding. But I'm not perfect, all right? And I'm not even close to Mary Poppins, all right? But anyway, sorry. Everyone just looked at me like, are you serious? There's no such thing as a perfect mother, and there's no such thing as a perfect person. But here's the thing, as we seek wisdom from the king, right, as they went to do that, he will help cover our imperfections, which leads us to the second thing we can learn about mothers from this scripture, and it's this. God is the answer for a mother's imperfections. God is the answer. You see, the reality is a stress-free motherhood doesn't exist, okay? A stress-free motherhood does not exist. Now, whether it's from the very beginning, right, whether it's from the pains of giving birth, whether it's through the terrible twos, or I've even heard people say the terrible threes, right? It kind of seems to drag on a little bit more. Whether it's through those times, whether it's the struggle of dealing and raising teenagers, right? And I know any of our youth kids in here, they don't fall into that category because they're perfect kids. I've heard that, of course. But whether it's dealing with the struggle of teenagers, or whether it's watching your kids leave the house for the first time, being an empty nester, whether it's being the grandma that has to watch from a distance and struggle with all those things, motherhood is often stressful. And once again, I don't mention this to discourage you this morning. You're imperfect and your life is full of stress, right? I'm not doing this to discourage you this morning. But I share that this morning to let you know that there's hope. That there's hope. God is willing and able to assist moms in the problems that they encounter, to assist moms in the midst of their imperfections. You see, God didn't give Solomon wisdom so that the people would stand around oohing and aahing, right? Wow, look at his wisdom. It's amazing. You know, I'm sure you guys do that on Sundays when I'm up here speaking, right? I'm just feeling chipper today. That's not why he gave him wisdom for people to ooh and aah. He gave his wisdom for a purpose, right? God not only loved those two prostitute mothers, he also loved the little baby in this story. God gave his wisdom to Solomon to save this child, for the little one. And God gives us wisdom for our children. God gives mothers wisdom for their children. And whatever your situation is, God has the answer. Whether you're a single mom, whether you're a stepmom, whether you're an adopted mom, whether you're, you name it, whatever you fall into, whatever category, God's wisdom and grace is there for all of you. And the reality is we live in difficult times. You know, a lot of kids today have special needs. A lot of kids today have struggles and things that maybe we didn't see in the past, maybe we did. Maybe we were just blind to it before. But guess what? God knows what those needs are. God created those kids. God created everyone. And he will give you wisdom to deal with those things. James 1:5, it's a scripture you guys should grab hold of. It says this: if any of you lack wisdom, you should ask God, who holds on to it tightly. That's not what it says. It says, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Now, do you hear that? If you ask for wisdom, God says he'll give you wisdom. God is the answering to our parenting. He is the answer to all our problems. All we have to do is seek his wisdom and allow him to guide and direct us. And the third and final thing I learned about moms from these scriptures is this: a mother's love is special. The real mother in this story would rather see another woman raise her child than to see it die. She was willing to give up her child just to make sure that the child lived. And I realized that you have to be willing to give some things up as a mother. There's sacrifice involved to this thing called motherhood. Personal sacrifice is a huge part of living that life as a mom. You know, our mothers actually, they fed us, right? They nourished us and protected us with their own bodies before we even saw the light of day, right? That was before we ever came out. I don't know anyone else who loves me enough to carry me around for 9 months dealing with sickness, throwing up, right, backaches, all the other things that come with pregnancy. But that's only the beginning, right? You know, a lot of people think, oh, if I can just get through that, that's what they dread the most, right? Walking through that, the labor pains, all that stuff. But I'll tell you, most moms that are older will probably tell you, that was nothing compared to walking through what it means to sacrifice and raise a child. You know, they start giving up sleep for the midnight feedings, right? They give up their personal goals to see their children achieve their goals. Ask yourself, at least I know this is true for me, how many times your mom went without so you could go with. My mom did that time and time again. She was willing to give us the last of whatever, to give up her money for clothes so that we could have school clothes or whatever it may be. How often my mom went without so that we could have. And then what about all the things that have gone unnoticed, the things that we don't even realize moms did for us? I want to show you a little video here. It's a video that talks about the unnoticed and underappreciated things of mom. So watch this video real quick.
Got a box for you to sign for?
Great, just put it right there.
What is it you guys do?
You don't know?
Know what?
Of course you don't know. I guess that's the point of all this.
I'm sorry, you lost me.
We monitor and collect every unnoticed service, sacrifice, or deed that moms do for their families. Oh, please. Melissa Richardson from Franklin, Ohio, just cleaned Sam and Charlie's room. Neither will notice.
What, that just happened?
4 minutes ago.
Where did she get that information?
Well, I'm not really allowed to say, but you know, here and there.
Okay.
Here comes another one. Sarah Pfeiffer from Long Beach, California just made her 100th lunch in a row without a thank you, Mom. Haley Cobb from Jefferson, Texas just did her daughter's forgotten chore of milking the goat. Gross. And last but not least, Jennifer Wright cleaned the whole house, top to bottom, and her husband didn't notice. Oh, and we have video.
You have video?
Check it out.
Hey, babe.
Hey.
How was your day?
Pretty busy.
Oh, yeah?
What do you think?
What do I think about what? Hang on, I gotta get this. McGuire!
He didn't even notice.
So, do you do this for dads as well?
Oh, yeah. It's just a smaller division.
Dads don't do good things for their kids?
Oh, no. They do lots of good things. It's just moms do an exorbitant amount of unnoticed things.
So, how many people do what you do?
Well, this office has 3 shifts, 8 hours a shift, so 3 of us.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
That's it.
So you probably run into a lot of unnoticed acts.
And that's just this office. There are over 5,000 offices worldwide doing exactly what we do. We just keep coming in today. Treated and bandaged the skin knee. We see this one a lot. It's unbelievable.
I wonder if any of my moms are in there.
What's your full name?
Akron Lanier Watts.
A-K-R-O-N?
Yeah.
Wow, looks like your mom's got a lot in there.
Really?
Yeah, typical stuff. Doing lots of laundry, cooking, cleaning. And your mom worked part-time.
She did.
Well, it looks like. Wow.
What?
Your mom also prayed for you.
She prayed for me.
A lot. Oh. Looks like you picked a good mom.
Yeah, I picked it.
A mother's love is special, and that kind of love shouldn't go unnoticed and unappreciated. And I watched this video enough throughout the week trying to get this out of my system, but every time I watch it, it reminds me of just the reality of how many things my mom did that went unnoticed, how many things my wife does that I don't notice. I bet you that guy coming home, you know, that's been me numerous times, not seeing or noticing what she's done and the things that she does to make sure our life runs smoothly. I encourage you to make sure your moms know how much you love them and how much you appreciate them, because they deserve it. The things that they do for us, the things that they sacrificially give for us. Now, as I wrap things up this morning, this message was obviously a Mother's Day message directed at moms. But the truth is, I hope that it challenges each and every one of us, because none of us are perfect, but God still loves us and has a plan and purpose for each of our life. And God is the answer for all of our imperfections. Whether it's a mother's imperfections or whether it's just us as people, our imperfections, we should be seeking God's wisdom for this thing called life that we go through every day. We should be seeking His guidance, His wisdom, because He is the answer for whatever it is we're going through. He is the answer to whatever it is we face. And finally, I do believe a mother's love is special. But we should all learn to love in this way, right? Because it's the love that Jesus Himself exampled for us, that God Himself exampled for us, that sacrificial love of giving up His Son for us. Jesus giving up His life for us. It's a sacrificial love, and we should learn that kind of love that we often see in moms. And that's God's desire for us. And so this morning, if you're not a mom, don't miss what the Lord's trying to speak to you as well this morning through this word. But if you are a mom, we know that there are imperfections, and that's okay. And God's the answer to those imperfections. And we know it's your love, right? Love covers a multitude of sins, right? That your love that you have for us is what helps us to continue to go and to continue to move on. And so I hope this morning, whether you're a mom or not, that you were encouraged and challenged in what God wanted to speak to us today. Amen? Let's bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for today. Lord, as today is a day where we honor moms, Lord, we thank you for the moms, Lord, that are here. For the moms just represented in this room of moms of us, Lord, we thank you for them. And Lord, maybe there are even some, and I know, moms in this room that aren't here, that they've gone to be with you, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for those times that we've had with our mothers, Lord, and those experiences that you've given us, Lord. May we remember and have those memories of the amazing things they've done in our lives, Lord, and be reminded as we talk about the special love of a mother, Lord, that, Lord, it's often because of that sacrificial giving type love that we see in them, Lord. And we want to learn to love in that way, Lord, to learn the example that we've learned from our moms, Lord, to pass on to those around us, Lord. And so, Lord, we thank you for this word. Lord, we thank you that, Lord, though we're imperfect, you care about us, Lord. Even this morning as we talked about the prostitutes, it would be so easy back in this time just to have discarded them. But King Solomon didn't, because he knew you cared about them. And there are so many in this world that you care about, that are hurt, that are broken, that are imperfect, as we all are. And we just pray, Lord, that you would help them to experience your love and to realize, Lord, that you are the answer to our imperfections, Lord. That as we struggle with difficulties and challenges and sin in our life, Lord, you're the answer to those things. Help us to seek you. Help us to seek your grace and mercy in our life, Lord, because your word says, and I even said it earlier, your grace is sufficient for us, Lord. And so we thank you and praise you for that, Lord. And we just thank you, Lord, for your love for us. That love of a mother, Lord, we know it comes from your love for us, Lord. Teach us how to love like you love, Lord. The kind of love that's willing to sacrifice and give of ourselves to honor and love others, Lord. And so we just pray you allow this word to penetrate our hearts. Challenge us, Lord, wherever we're at in our walk and our relationship with you, to really seek to be not just the moms, but the men and women of God that you've called us to be, Lord. We thank you and we praise you for these things. We just give them to you. And we pray, Lord, that you bless today as we go out of here. Many people celebrating moms, doing different things. Lord, whatever we're doing, whatever people are doing today, may you be honored in that, Lord. And may it be just a great day of spending time together with others, Lord. We thank you and we praise you for these things. In Jesus' name, amen.